I'm Steve Potter, and still to come on Cityscape, director Chris Limber on Union Avenue Opera's production of A Streetcar Named Desire. We'll meet the actresses, also, who portray sisters Blanche and Stella. But first, Max and Louis Productions presents Quills, which opens next Thursday at the JCC's Steinberg Family Complex. The playwright, by the way, Doug Wright, won a number of awards, including a Pulitzer and a Tony for another play, I Am My Own Wife, which was produced here in St. Louis at the Rep. Doug Wright wrote the play Quills. He also wrote the screenplay for the movie, and he joins us now on the phone from Utah. Doug Wright, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you so much.
Also here in the studio joining us today, actor Ted Gregory and the director of Quills here in St. Louis, Brooke Edwards. Hi to you.
Hello.
Hello. Good to be here.
Doug, Quills has been described as sinfully theatrical. What do you think about that?
I certainly hope that's true. Yes, it's a pretty provocative subject. It deals with the last days in the life of the Marquis de Sade, somewhat fictionalized to my own nefarious purposes. But it is a play that tackles provocative literature and sexuality and a host of other taboo topics in, I hope, a way that audiences find fiendishly entertaining.
Brooke, do you have any thoughts along those lines?
I would agree completely. People ask, like, you know, what is the play about? Is it like, you know, is it serious? It's like, well, no, it's about serious things, but it's told in a very satirical, heightened, melodramatic way, which I think helps the material go. It's like a spoonful of sugar. It helps all of these dark things that it's talking about and all this, you know, thematically helps it go down a little bit better because it's done with a wink and a nod.
So I'm not sure. Is it a comedy?
Yes.
I would agree. I think Brooke describes it very eloquently and captures its tone. I hope that it's darkly funny.
Well, Ted Gregory, you play the Marquis de Sade.
I do.
And from my limited research that I did today, I discovered that the Marquis spent something like over 30 years of his life in prisons and insane asylums. Mm-hmm. Just who was this guy?
Well, this guy was, well, it's still, I guess history still has decided as to what who exactly he was. But he is, from that perspective, from where the play starts off, yes, he has spent many years in an insane asylum in and out of various prisons or whatnot. But he is an incredible, incredible writer. I mean, he is, a lot of people think that he's perhaps a genius. I guess history will determine that. I think he was probably ahead of his time. I think even arguably today, he's still ahead of his time in terms of his thoughts on morality, his thoughts on art. But yes, he definitely was a provocative individual, and I think he had a lot of fun provoking individuals into thinking, into feeling. And yeah, I think that Brooke and I have decided that certainly this is certainly the way to play him is through that wink and the nod. But also, he is somebody that probably in his cell, he is the funnest cell in Charenton, we've kind of decided. He has a party there going on all the time. So, So I certainly the way that I see it, you know, and I'm not the person to sort of, considering my taste, this is my kind of play, but I'm not the kind of person to say that whether or not there's too much seriousness or, I mean, for me, this is all part of human nature, and I think the play explores it beautifully, and I think the Marquis embodies it beautifully. Now, whether or not he's controversial, that's in the eye of the beholder.
Doug Wright, I'm curious. You know, I thought probably everyone had at least heard of the Marquis de Sade. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier, though, who really didn't know much about him. So is it important that we know historically who this person was?
I don't think so. I think there are plenty of correlatives in contemporary culture. Those artists who like to shock or provoke or who have built their careers on being incendiary. So whether or not we think we know Sade in particular, we certainly know his ilk, and they're still among us today. So I think people can come to the play with little or no knowledge of Sade and leave with, I think, a true sense of his aesthetic and why, as Ted says so truly, he is still a subject of debate today. We have yet to decide conclusively if he was a vile pornographer or a brilliant satirist, and academics have built whole careers arguing either point. And I think that's what makes him such a worthy and volatile subject for drama.
Yeah, well, those are certainly two different varied types of people. How much do we really know? How much do we know historically? Is what you write, that's what I'm getting at, is what you write historically correct as far as you know? How much liberty have you taken with what we know about the man?
The play is certainly inspired by Paxson-Sud's life, like his internment at the Sherrington Asylum for the last years of his life, his relationship with a young laundress who snuck his writings in and out of the asylum, and the Abbé de Coulmier, whose job it was to rehabilitate him, and the Dr. Royer Collard, who ran the hospital. But many of the events are, of course, amped up for drama, and people seeking a really biographical account of Sud's life and not a fanciful, dramatic one should probably look to the local library and check out books like Sud by Maurice Levay, and a wonderful book called Sud's Women by Francine Duplessis Gray. And there are shelves full of biographies. So I took the liberties of the dramatist and just told what I hope is a ripping good yarn.
Now, the Marquis de Sud was a writer himself.
Absolutely.
Is that what the title Quills comes from?
Yes. In that day and age, they wrote with quill pens. And I also thought the name itself, the word quill, implied some barbs that might draw blood, and that felt appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Well, Burke, how did you approach this?
Oh, goodness. How did I approach this? I came at it with just knowing, one, it was very important to cast people who understood the style of the play. Something I think Wystelli and Dee, the producers, asked me to do this is because I like the dark comedy, kind of absurd theater. It's kind of my thing. And so you kind of have to approach it because, especially with like the character of the Abbé, because of the themes, it could get very dark. And you have to approach it as almost in rehearsal, where we've been playing a lot with a lot of slapstick, a lot of heightened physicality, a lot of heightened vocal work. And really what we've been working on lately is like getting people out of their head and not internalizing it and just, you know, having fun with it and not thinking too much into things and letting the words, because the script is beautiful and it's just layered with all of this lovely language, and kind of letting the words speak for themselves and not get in the way of the script.
And we're talking about issues like sex, censorship, pornography, religion. So Ted is an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had trouble not internalizing this? And if you have, I'd like to hear about it.
Well, again, I think Brooke and I, we have sort of the same taste in plays and roles and those types of things. I think, you know, people ask me, was it a challenge? Well, yeah, I guess as any role is kind of a challenge. But, you know, you look at it from the perspective of where do you get to play a role of a character that sort of you know, provokes, evokes, invokes, you name it. These incredible feelings, these incredible thoughts about morality and art. And, yeah, I think just getting in there with the language, I guess if there's any challenge, you know, Doug's a very smart man. He's a very smart writer. This is a very smart play. The Marquis is certainly very, very intelligent. And, you know, when I'm not on stage, I tend to be a little bit of a couch potato. So, yeah, so getting in there, relishing that language has been such fun and such fascinating experience. And, he's just fascinating. In terms of the pornography and all of that stuff, internalizing it, you know, I don't have an issue with that in my life. You're talking about somebody that I've always kind of chosen plays and done plays that have been, you know, maybe have an alternative side to them, explores a different range of the human emotion than you normally are used to seeing, perhaps, in commercial theater. So, yeah, for me, that's not something that I've had an issue with. And I don't think the audience necessarily will have an issue with. I know that there was an interesting story about I read it somewhere, Doug. Is that correct? About something in Canada? There was something that went on in Canada regarding
That's right. It was amusing. There were a few patrons that were offended by the play when it was performed up at the Canadian Stage Company and asked the Vice Squad to come take a look. And so the Vice Squad came to see it, and they sat very sternly in the second row. And when it was over, their only comment was to ask the publicist if they could have extra tickets to bring their wives.
So we're not worried about the Vice Squad at the JCC.
No.
I also have to say that as a writer, I'm always so grateful to people like Brooke and Ted who tackle the work, because I feel like they're scaling a mountain on my behalf, and all I have to do is show up and enjoy it. But a very dear friend of mine and quite a well-known actor described the role of the Marquis in the play as hovering deliriously between King Lear and Norma Desmond.
Oh, my goodness.
I love that.
Anybody willing to do that has my enduring respect.
Well, you know, and we were talking about that the other day. This is on the scope of King Lear in a very kind of alternative, you know, interesting kind of way.
Right.
You know, I mean, where do you get this individual that has all this incredible range?
Right.
And the Marquis certainly embodies that.
Doug, is there much difference between the play and the movie?
Substantial. they're really quite different animals, although I have to say in the same breath, I blush to confess it, but I'm quite proud of them both. I had the rare experience of actually adapting the play for film, and I think that the real difference has less to do with studio concerns or the kind of meddling that can happen as a play journeys to the big screen, and more to do with the difference in the nature of the mediums. And the theater can work in bold, dark, comic colors, and violence in the theater can be stylized so that it's impactful but not grotesque. And their ways of telling stories with a kind of theatrical brio on stage that can curdle on film. And if you put some of those same moments or same effects on film, you lose the piece's power, and it simply seems overwrought and overly theatrical. It feels stage-bound. So we had to open up the script. We had to create perhaps more nuanced moments between characters. And we actually had to tone down the violence of the piece, because some things that happen in the play that are so over the top they're almost funny on film simply become off-putting. So it was really the changes we made from script to screen were really to serve the medium of film, not to temper or lessen the play's message.
Well, Brooke, as director, here you're dealing with topics like sex and pornography, yet this is a comedy of sorts. So has that been a tightrope for you in any way? And what are the challenges in dealing with such heady topics but making it lighthearted?
I'm of the, you know, my generation with, I think, of South Park and The Onion, which I think those two, one, The Onion is the newspaper, and South Park, the show, they are some of the best social commentary of our time because they do it with satire. And for me, you know, if I want to be moved or hit over the head, I'll watch the news, you know. And then eventually you just have to kind of stop listening. Whereas where you tackle these huge issues like, you know, morality and death and sex and pornography or any of that, to do it with comedy, to do it in that sort of tongue-in-cheek kind of way, it actually helps get the message across clear, because you're more willing to listen to it because it's not bogged down, you know, in this heavy emotion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah. It's such a fine line. It's so hard to try to direct somebody or tell somebody. He's like, yeah, but I'm talking about killing him. I'm like, yeah, but it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if there was a contemporary mantra for the Marquis, I mean, those issues regarding pornography and sex, I mean, it would be, you know, he'd say, what's the big deal?
Right.
What really is the big deal here?
And so, Doug, do you have a message in any of this that you were trying to get across? Are these things big deals, or should they not be? Where are you coming from?
Well, I think we should constantly be debating them, and they are at the center of the culture, and we need to scrutinize them. And I think when we talk about censorship, the point I think that always gets lost is the censor is always the artist's greatest and most reliable muse, mm-hmm. and that there is nothing you can say to an artist that is more seductive and a richer invitation to aesthetic misbehavior than don't do that. And
yes.
So we think of the artist and the censor as existing on opposite sides of the spectrum, but in truth, I think they are engaged in a lovely tango and always have been.
Max and Louis Productions presents Doug Wright's Quills. It opens next Thursday, July 31st, running through August the 17th at the JCC's Steinberg Family Center or Complex. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to Max and Louis' website, and you can find out more about that way. One last question for each of you, I think. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Ted Gregory,
mm-hmm.
have you ever played a character like this before?
Well, no. I haven't played something like this. I think this is something very, very special about the Marquis. I fell in love with this play.
I mean, do you think he's a good guy?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I mean, it's a testament to his survival, his relentlessness, his the ability to have fun amidst the adversity in which he's experienced. Yeah, I mean, I think that he is somebody that doesn't really question those issues of good and evil, per se, other than he looks at really the heart of a situation and really what is at the heart of human desire, human need. And I think no matter how dark somebody may call it or he may refer to it as, it's all a beautiful thing.
That's actor Ted Gregory. He's playing the part of the Marquis de Sade. Brooke Edwards is directing. I might want to mention really quickly, Brooke, that people remember the theatrical group from a few years ago, Orange Girls.
Yes.
Which was your
company. That was my
company,
theater company, yes.
Who made a nice name for themselves while they were here.
Thank you.
So the biggest challenge for you directing this?
The biggest challenge is towing that fine line between the darkness and the melodrama and not getting it bogged down and making it slow and keeping it, even though it has these heavy themes, keeping it light, keeping it funny, keeping the pace up.
I want to mention on Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, Doug Wright, you're going to be in town and you're going to be involved in a talk back with the audience, I guess, after the play. And on one
of
those,
that's true.
Yeah, and one of those nights, I think that's going to be August the 1st. Jeff Mittman, the executive director of the ACLU of Missouri, is going to be involved in that too. What kind of dialogue are you hoping to encourage?
The play has a bit of a history with the ACLU. They hosted one of the first premieres of the film when we made it. And Jeff is actually an old college friend of mine who so kindly invited me to come and speak. And I think his interest lies in the fact that the play does address core issues of free speech and freedom of expression and what are both the dividends of that in a culture and what are the dangers and how do we ensure pluralistic society where everybody's voice gets heard. So in as much as those are themes of the play, I think he's eager to look at them from a somewhat political issue-oriented stance. So it should be a very lively conversation.
That's Quills, July 31st through August the 17th. Playwright Doug Wright has been with us, also actor Ted Gregory and director Brooke Edwards. Thank you all for being here, and best of luck.
Thank you so much for having us.
Next on Cityscape, A Streetcar Named Desire at Union Avenue Opera. This is St. Louis Public Radio.